Father, I need your presence today. God, I pray that you would break me of any arrogance, of any pride that is in me. God, would you preach this message this morning? God, would you deliver a little bit of passion to my life and to the lives of everyone who is here this morning, God? Lord, would you help us to just really, truly better understand what it means and how to live a passionate life for you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. As I have been working through the stones, the symbolic meaning of the five stones that David took from the water that day, one of which would be hurled at and would be the stone that defeated his foe, Goliath. We've looked at the stone of the past, the stone of prayer, the stone of priority, and today of the five stones, I think, is the most difficult as far as at least the sermon preparation has gone. This has been, without a doubt, the most difficult sermon for me to prepare. Because when I just searched the Bible for the word passion, and it doesn't exist in the Bible in this form. We think about the passion of Christ and his sacrifice and his death, but there's an entirely different meaning. I wanted to look at us living lives filled with passion for our God. And the word just is not in there. But while the word is not in there, the Bible is filled with people who lived lives passionately for God. And I look at the life of David, and I see David as a man of passion. When I read some of the Psalms and I see the emotion that is behind those Psalms, we see the passion that David had for life and the passion that David had for God. And so I took a verse that I think displays the passion that David had. Would you please stand out of respect as we look at just this one verse kind of taken out of the middle of this chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. You may be seated. What do you do with all your might? What is it in your life that you can honestly say, I do with all my might? I don't know, when I thought about my life, it was really hard for me to really come up with an answer for that. Let me ask another question. I've been to the Louvre in Paris, you know, probably the most famous museum in all the world. Can anybody tell me what is probably the most well-known painting hanging in the Louvre? Anybody know? The Mona Lisa, that's right. We've got some art scholars amongst us. The Mona Lisa is probably the most well-known painting, and I've seen it. I've got to stand there and actually look at the Mona Lisa, not just pictures or replicas or anything like that, but actually stand there and look at the Mona Lisa. It's really incredible, and it's not that I have that much appreciation for art. For me, it's just the fame of that piece of art, to think that I was actually standing in front of the Mona Lisa. But you know, I thought, what was the Mona Lisa before it was the Mona Lisa? It was a white, blank canvas and a gloppy pile of oils mixed together with some dyes and pigments. These materials just waiting to be brought together by a brush. Well, let me ask you another question. What if I had gotten a hold of that canvas and those oils? It would be nothing more than just an unrecognizable smear of color all globbed together on a canvas. But to the great appreciation and thanks of the art world, those materials did not fall into my hands. They fell into the hands of a master. They fell into the hands of one of the greatest men to ever don a brush and dip it into pigmented oils and caress a canvas with that brush. And with that brush was created one of the most famous works of art ever known. If those oils and that canvas had fallen into my hands, today they would be absolutely worthless. But those very same materials fell into the hands of a man who had passion for his trade. They fell into the hands of a man who had passion for his art. And in my hands, they would have been worthless. In his hands, they became a priceless work of art. Your life is a canvas. Some of you, the canvas has more painting on it than others. But all of us are a work in process. So let me ask, in whose hands is the brush that is painting your life? Who is the one applying these assorted colors to you? Are they in the hands of the master artist, or are they in the hands of the master deceiver? One creates art. The other creates chaos. One creates masterpieces. The other calls you to fall to pieces. One makes a tapestry of your life. The other makes your life a shambles. In the one, the hands of the one, you become worthless. In the hands of the other, you too, like the Mona Lisa, become priceless. God has a passion for you and for your life, and to make your life a masterpiece, a work of art, if you will allow Him to be the one to control your life. He has passion for you. Do you have passion for Him? This passage of Scripture, it's so simple. And yet I think it shows us the passion that David had to serve his God. And this was one of those times in David's life, because we've talked about the fact that there were times in David's life when he had great passion and great desire to serve God. And there were other times that he was like a dog tucking his tail between his legs and running. This was one of the times where he not only wanted to, but was passionate about pleasing God. And it was because it took place right after one of the failures. This verse takes place right after we have the account of Uzzah being struck dead because he irreverently touched the Ark of the Covenant. And that story had always bothered me until I studied it a little more in depth and how I realized that there were very strict commands about how the Ark of the Covenant was to be handled. And this situation was doomed from the start, because the Ark was never, ever, ever to be on a cart. The Ark of the Covenant was to be carried by the Levites, by the priests, on poles on their shoulders. And that was it. And there are no exceptions to God's rules. God's commands are to be obeyed. And David realized that. But he realized it too late for Uzzah's sake. And so now he has the chance for some measure of redemption. And I think that David realized the importance of the ark. And so we see David's passion as he dances before the ark of the covenant with all his might, with everything that is in him. I want us to think about our lives for a few moments and the things in our lives that truly give us joy, that give us pleasure, that make us happy. So let me ask you a really simple question. What's your favorite color?
Pink.
Pink? Oh. Wasn't expecting outright answers, but hey, that's fine. My favorite color is red. I love red. And I tell you, I probably love red more than most people love favorite colors. There's just something about the color red that affects me. If I'm walking through a store and I'm looking for clothes, I'm going to be drawn to red shirts. Drives Nino crazy. She's like, how many red shirts do you need? How many can I have? I just love the color red. And there's just something about it. I mean, when I bought my motorcycle, I would not even consider looking at a bike if it wasn't red. You know, we had a silver PT Cruiser, and I've never, I don't think I've ever regretted anything more. Because every time we would be driving along and I'd see a red PT Cruiser, I'd just kind of tear up. Why can't mine be red? And it was more than just that I like red. I don't know how to explain it, but it was an emotional thing for me when we also had a red Firebird convertible, and when I would sit in that red car, I felt good. When I'm wearing a red shirt, I feel good. And I know you're probably just thinking, man, what an idiot! This is this guy's problem, yeah. But it's part of the way that God made me. He created these emotions in me, and there's just something about the color red that just makes me feel good. I love the fact that God created us that way. That there are things in life that are really quite simple. That he wanted those things to give you some joy and some happiness. What are the things in your life that when you do them, you really have fun? What are the things in your life that you do that you really enjoy? You know, I've told you before, man, there's just, when I ride my motorcycle, there's just something about cruising down the road 45, 50 miles an hour and feeling that wind. I enjoy that. It is fun. And all of this is because God created us this way. God created us as emotional beings. This passion that I am talking about is an emotion. It is something inside you that God has created. But we've got to be careful because we can't let our emotions control us. And I've talked about that before too. But that's not the point of my sermon this morning. You know that. You can't let these things control you. But I think it's so great that God gave them to us so that we might have a more abundant life. I believe that emotions are one of the things that Jesus was talking about. He said, I can that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you getting joy in your life? Because this is how God created you. You are an emotional being. So I don't know for you what your favorite color is. I don't know if your favorite color affects you the way red affects me. But I'm so glad that there are things that are so simple in life that really do affect us and can give us joy. My next question, what is it that causes your blood to boil? What is it that just really pushes your buttons? What is it that just really gets under your skin? What are the things in life that just really bug you, that really annoy you, that really make you angry? Because we've all got things like that. We've all got things that just set us on edge. And these are the things that we've got to be careful about, because these are the things that will push us over the edge of letting emotions control us. I know for me, when I see stories on the news about child abuse, about child molestation, oh, that just makes me so mad. When I hear about a man who abuses a woman, I tell you, any man who would hit a woman, you just don't get any lower in my book than that. And things like that, they just really make me angry. They just really bug me. And those are the kind of things that would cause my blood to boil. And I wanted you to think for just a moment about your life and the emotions that well up inside of you whenever you feel that way. So that you would think about the emotions that you have and some of the passion that God has built you with, the ability to feel and to experience. And that is some of the passion that God wants us to direct towards Him in a good way. You are capable of feeling all of these emotions. God wants these emotions and this passion. He wants it focused on Him. He wants this joy, this happiness, these passions. He wants them to be on Him. Your favorite color. causes your blood to boil. Next thing, what are you good at? What do you do? And not just do, but do really good. Where does your confidence lie? I enjoy preaching. I don't know if I'm good at it, but I feel like it is a gift that God has given me, and it is one of the abilities that God wants me to use. And I get a degree of satisfaction when I preach because I feel like I'm using the gift that God gave me. And it's such a huge responsibility. But I enjoy standing up here and sharing what I believe God has laid on my heart with you. When I was a missionary and living in Russia, I was a strategy coordinator. And I got to be honest, I didn't think I was a very good strategy coordinator. But that was not where my strengths and abilities really were. But it was the job that I was doing and that was needed to be done. And so it was what I did. But what I really did well was I was a good volunteer coordinator. When we had groups come over to work with missionaries and to do ministry and evangelism, man, I loved organizing those trips. Because for me, it was just so important that when people came, they had good experiences. And I've met a lot of missionaries, you know, they really didn't care. Like, hey, you know, these people want to come over and, you know, work. That's fine. You know, let them come over and find something to do. But, man, I never felt that way. I always thought, you know, it is my responsibility to make sure, because these people are making big sacrifices. You know, they're spending their own money, and usually a lot of their own money, right? Those mission trips aren't cheap. Ask Bethany, she'll tell you. They get really expensive. And they're usually giving up vacation time to come and to do a ministry. And I always thought that was so important to make sure that they had the best time possible. And so I really worked hard. And I always loved to see the volunteers team's reaction when they were there and would see the awe in their eyes as they would stand on Red Square and see all these famous places they'd only heard about. And there were rewards to doing a good job. And I felt like that was something I did good. And I don't say this, you know, to blow my own horn. It's just one of the things that there again, God gave me that ability to organize and to do these things. And I just tell you this so I can tell you that I know where my strengths lie. Do you know where your strengths lie? David did. He didn't always act on it, but he did. The day David went out to face Goliath, David knew that his strength lay in his faith that the battle belonged to the Lord, so he ran out to meet his foe. One of the greatest things I've ever heard said about David facing Goliath was this. In Goliath, all Israel saw an enemy too big to defeat. David saw a target too big to miss. Did you get that? Israel saw an enemy too big to defeat. David saw a target too big to miss. Did he know he would hit the target? No. But he took one look at Goliath and thought, how could I miss? He went out with the passion of knowing that the battle was God's. And when we read the Psalms, when we read David's writings, when we see that David danced before the Lord with all his might, David had passion. He was passionate about God. Let me ask you again, what are you passionate about? What is it that you can do with all of your confidence that when you have finished, you will feel like, you know, I've done a good job. And for some of us, you know, this takes some examination, and we don't like doing that. When I preach a sermon like this, the whole point is to get you to really think about your life, to look at what's going on inside of you. And I know listing your hurts, it doesn't heal them. Itemizing problems doesn't solve them. Categorizing rejections won't give you acceptance. But it helps us. If we had been looking at these five stones in the way that I found them, they were kind of listed as your finger in your fingers, and we would be on the fourth one, which would be the ring finger. The ring finger is where commitment is indicated. The only way you're ever going to live with any passion for God is if you are truly committed to God. God has so much passion for you and has given you so many ways to enjoy life, has given us so much pleasure in life. He wants us to live with that same passion for Him. The last question, what are you passionate about? David danced before the Lord, but he didn't always dance before the Lord. David was not always passionate for God, because just a few chapters later, in 2 Samuel 11:27, we see a verse that is just a sad verse, which says, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. He goes from this passionate dance for God to his sin with Bathsheba. David was flawed and he wasn't perfect. He didn't always dance before the Lord with all his might. But as we have from the beginning of this study seen, that when he did, Goliath fell. When he didn't, David fell. What are you passionate about today? I thought about some of the simple things in life. Things like, you know, a good book. Have you ever just had a book that you read that, man, you just wanted to tell everybody, you need to read this book. Had just had a real patron, or you know, one you just couldn't put down. Did you ever see a movie that you just a really great movie that man, just had you so emotional as you're watching, kind of on the edge of your seat. A movie that you just wanted to make sure everybody saw. I know, and you're going to think this is silly, but for me, the longest time, The Princess Bride was my favorite movie. If you've not seen it, you're missing one of the greatest stories. There's one bad word in the movie, and I hate that because it's such a good, wholesome movie, other than one bad word towards the end. But it's a story of love and romance and fightings and pirates. And there was a time I could quote that movie beginning to end. And I just, the Battle of Wits scene, if you've seen the movie, you know what that's like. But it was a great movie. Are you passionate about movies? Movies, tearjerkers, Old Yeller. What are you passionate about? Sports. Guys, are some of you just, are there some times, you know, sports, you just, you know, you're thinking, okay, is he going to shut up so I can get home in time to see the football game? What are you passionate about? Some of us are passionate about a good fight. Oh man, we love to argue. That's why we're Baptist. Can't wait for that next business meeting. Because we're just really passionate. That's the place we get to shine. What are you passionate about? Your family? Are you passionate about your spouse? Are you passionate about those kids? I know many of you, when I preached 2 weeks ago, mentioned how I got really passionate about the fact that I said how adamantly I would defend Nino. Not myself so much, but my wife. And even more than Nino. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my wife dearly. But she doesn't have the same hooks in me that Anna Maria does. I tell you, it's getting tough. It really is. I talked to him on Thursday, and it was one of the times that Anna Maria actually got on the phone and actually made some sounds. And I tell you, when she said "Daddy," I lost it. I'm passionate about that little girl, and I got to tell you, it's just killing me. I can't wait for them to get back and me to be here on a Sunday morning and I can finish preaching. And you guys know how Nina always does, brings her in, and as soon as we say amen, those little legs just can't get fast enough down that aisle to get to her daddy. Passionate about my little girl. But I would hope that more than all of these things, that we are passionate about our God. That all of these things, colors, books, movies, families, that all of these would not hold a candle to the passion that God wants us to have for Him. It's what it all boils down to. I wanted you to think about those things in your life. I wanted you to think about the passion that you have for your family, your passion about the things that are important to you. And then I want you to think, what about God? What kind of passion do you have about God? I was teaching a Sunday school class when I was in Fort Worth, Texas, when I was in seminary. I taught a singles Sunday school class. And I remember one day I used an illustration. I brought in just some jawbreakers. I had one that was yellow, one that was red, one that was purple, and one that was green. And I held them out to a girl named Keisha, one of the girls in my class. And I just said, Keisha, pick one of the jawbreakers. She took the purple one. And then I asked, I said, Keisha, why did you pick purple? She said, because I like purple. And then I simply posed the question, did it matter to God which jawbreaker Keisha took? Did it matter that she took the purple one? Would it have made any difference to God if she had picked the green one or the red one? And then I said, no. I said, I don't think it mattered one iota to God. And Mom was thinking, well, it's blasphemy to think something didn't matter to God. But I don't think it mattered to God which jawbreaker Keisha took. What mattered to God was that He loved Keisha enough to let her like the color purple. That God wanted Keisha to enjoy things in this life. And one of the things that He lets us enjoy are colors. And it's such a simple illustration. But what God really wants us to enjoy in life, where God really wants us to derive pleasure, is from serving Him and living for Him. Things in your life that you love and you enjoy, how do they compare to how much you love and you enjoy your God? Are you passionate about Him? Let's pray. Father, God, I want to live with a passion for You. God, I want to live with a desire to serve You. When I think about the price that was paid for me, how could I not want to please You and to have passion for You? God, I pray that You would remind each of us this week, that You would just help us to notice the things in life that we enjoy. And then, God, that You would remind us how much more we need to love and enjoy You. In Your precious name we pray, amen.